Today, I've got a gold nugget to share with you about that new world that we're looking for. I'm going to the last chapter in the book of Revelation. Revelation 22, John says, "He showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healings of the nation." This was what John saw in his vision. Ezekiel had a vision of this same river. In chapter 47, Ezekiel described it this way: "And by the river, upon the banks thereof, on this side and on the other side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof wither. It shall bring forth new fruit according to its months, because their waters issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaves thereof for medicine." He says, wherever it flowed, things lived. He said, people would cast their nets and bring up fish in abundance. Oh, what a place to behold! What a place to retire to! It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair. Turn your Bibles once more to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 14, 15, and 16. "His head and his hair was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength." John said, "I saw those eyes as a flame of fire." To those of us who are his children, these eyes as of flames of fire were eyes of love, warmth, enlightenment. But to those God haters, even those who hate the children of God, these eyes were a warning. To those who would harm the apple of his eye, he is saying, "Watch out. If you touch the apple of my eye, I will avenge my own." And then John dropped his astonished gaze from the eyes of Jesus to the feet of the Master. And what he saw would even bring more discomfort to those who would set themselves against God and against those who belong to him. John said, His feet were as brass glowing in a furnace. These were the same feet that had walked the dusty roads of Palestine, the same feet that had walked on water, the same feet that the disciples neglected to wash because they were too busy arguing about which of them would be greatest. These were the same feet that walked up Calvary, the same that were nailed to a Roman cross, the same feet that was bruised by the serpent while crushing the serpent's head. It was these same feet that walked out of the empty tomb, the same feet walked with his disciples on the Emmaus Road, the same feet that ascended up into heaven, the same under which God has placed all things. John saw these same feet as though they glowed in a furnace. These are the feet of the final judge of the earth. When John saw the feet of Jesus looking like bronze, he saw feet that were ready to trample in judgment all that had set itself against God and God's people. Feet that were ready to trample anything and everything that caused human suffering. Feet that are ready to trample in judgment all that had caused your problems and pains and persecution. There are three primary sources of suffering: sin, Satan, and self. One day, there will be an accounting when Jesus will judge all three, permanently destroying at the source all sufferings for the believer in Christ. And then John heard the voice of the living God. It was the same voice that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It was the same voice that whimpered in a manger in Bethlehem. It was the same voice that says, "I am come to do thy will, O God." It was the same voice that had calmed the storms on the Sea of Galilee. The same voice that commanded Lazarus to come forth from the tomb. It was this same voice that said, "It is finished." It was this same voice that turned Mary's tears to joy when he called her name. The same voice that called into being everything and everything that has ever existed. It is the same voice that sustains all things in the universe. John says, "This voice was like the sound of rushing waters." I remember the wife and I stood at the base of Niagara Falls. The sound was so great that it filled the air. You could not hardly hear yourself speak. And the closer we got, the louder it got. We finally got so close that all of our voices was drowned out. In this time in which we're living, when so many voices are being raised against Christ and what he has said, we can be assured that one day they will all be silenced, all be drowned out. Jesus will have the last word. When we are depressed and lifeless, we seem to have no energy to do even the routine functions. Read God's word. That's where you'll find help. That's where you'll find joy. Let the rushing waters of the living word drown out all other sounds and voices. There is life-giving power in the voice of God. At the most difficult times in my life, this voice have sustained me. It has given me strength to go on one day at a time. There is peace, hope, power, life in the voice that sounds like the rushing waters. Read the word. John said, "Out of his mouth went a two-edged sword." John saw Jesus as the captain of the Lord's hosts, the commander of the armies of heaven, and the weapons that he used to smite his enemies, the weapon that ensures victory, the weapon against which nothing or no one can stand, the weapon that penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, is the sword which is the Word of God. John saw this sword. This sword divides and separates the rebellious, revealing the deep secrets of the human heart while it gathers and unites the redeemed. The glorious vision of Jesus reached its climax when John saw his face, which appeared like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. If you and I had the opportunity and could ask John, was it worth it to maintain your testimony? Was it worth it to preach the gospel without compromise? Was it worth it to seek to live for Christ in a hostile world? I believe that John would have answered, yes, it was worth it. I would go back to that island any day just for the vision of Jesus that God gave me there. What visions of Christ are you missing because you are occupied with yourself, your pain, and your circumstances? In the midst of your problems, turn around, focus on Christ. There is no time to think about your circumstances.